chapter 23, the Gospel of Luke, a very famous passage in the scriptures in the Gospel of Luke, the account of the two thieves that were up there alongside the Lord Jesus Christ as he was crucified. Luke chapter 23, we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 23 in verse number 39 with me. Luke 23, beginning in verse 39. And it says, "And one of the malefactors which was hung railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'd take your word today and just use it mightily, Father. We pray that it would go out and not return void, Father. We just pray that you'd take me out of the way and fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I'm not fit to be here, Lord, but it's only through your saving grace that I'm here, Father. Help me to speak those things clearly that you'd have me only to speak, Lord. We pray today, if there be a lost soul that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'd receive him, because to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive life eternal. Father, bless your word now. Bless everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What we have before us this morning is the gospel account in Luke of the two thieves being crucified alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. What we want to look at is the messages preached by the dying thieves. The title of this morning's message is Preaching from the Crosses. We're going to see some messages preached today from the crosses. One by a skeptic, an impenitent thief, a man who was sorry that he got caught, and as the Bible tells us, worldly repentance which worketh death. We're going to hear from a man lost for eternity. And then we're going to hear another message preached. Another by a repentant thief, a man who was sorry for his sins, who showed godly sorrow, which worketh repentance to the salvation. A man who was saved for time and eternity. First, we want to look at the message of the skeptic, the impenitent thief. Look in verse 39. It begins, he says, "If thou be Christ." If he was questioning, "Are you Christ? Are you the Son of God? Are you the Anointed One?" Doesn't this sound familiar, that if, that questioning? Doesn't this remind you of Satan's tactics? You know, Satan speaks three times in the scriptures. Once to Eve, once to Job, and once to Jesus. To Eve, he questions, "Yea, hath God said?" He questions the very word of God. And Satan to God concerning Job, he says, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" You know, does Job fear God for nothing? And then to Jesus, we remember there in the account of his temptation in the wilderness, he says to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread." Notice this morning, this is the favorite device of the skeptic to challenge or question the premise. This is the same approach that all modern education and science uses in attacking the Word of God as our final authority. You see, the reason they attack the Word of God as their final authority is so that every one of us would have to run to them as our final authority. The dying thief is of his father, the devil. When he railed Jesus Christ, when he railed our Lord and Savior on the cross, and he said, "If thou be Christ," he sounded just like his father, Satan, as we said. Satan said to Jesus, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." He said the same thing, "If thou be the Son of God," just as that thief on the cross said, if thou be Christ, questioning. You see, the impenitent thief is coming from the same mindset as the religious leaders of the council who had wanted to put Jesus to death. These so-called godly men had just previously uttered in Luke 23:35, it says, "And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if, there it is again, that questioning, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. You know, if you think about this for a minute, it's pretty ridiculous, based on the evidence that we've just presented to you, to believe that brotherhood of man garbage that's going on today, that God is everybody's father. Such a thing is absolutely impossible. God would never have children that would yell out and say such profanity, such profane things. If thou be the Son of God, save thyself. Or if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Not everybody is a child of God. God would never have children that would say these things or utter these things. This is the message of the skeptic this morning. A message of an impenitent or a person without repentance. A message of doubt, a message without hope, a message of unbelief. A message which leads the leader or the listener to eternal damnation. This is the message that's preached by all the skeptics today. This is the message that the majority of people are believing today. Is the Bible real? Is that really the Word of God? That can't be the Word of God. Man wrote that book. You know, what do you mean, Jesus Christ? If thou be Christ. We question, you know, and the sad part about it, it's happening under the guise of Christianity. It's happening in Bible colleges and universities. You know, something other than the Word of God is held up as the final authority, be it a professor or whoever it may be. But the sad part about this message of the impenitent thief, the skeptic, it has no hope. It has no hope. It has no hope of eternal life. It has nothing but doubt and fear in it. So we see then, message number one clearly is the message of the skeptic, if thou be. You know, the message of the Satan as he attacked the Word of God in that Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God said, and he's been doing it ever since. Because he wants to have a lot of people with him in hell. He wants you to believe that garbage. He wants you to believe that we're all children of God. We're all the brotherhood of man. You know, there's a higher power, and as long as we believe in a higher power, that's all that matters. But praise God, there's more than one message from those crosses this morning. There's a message from the repentant thief. Here is a man, as we will see, as evidenced by his words. Can you imagine? He must have been thinking as he listened to that, as he listened to the crowd beneath the cross, you know, wagging their heads and saying, you know, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself. Who is this character? Who is this? You know, and spitting upon him. And then he looks and he sees that other thief, you know, railing Jesus, you know, if thou be Christ. He must have been thinking, why is everyone picking on Jesus Christ? Why is everyone picking on him? It just doesn't make sense. This man hasn't done anything. Let's try to picture that thief for a moment. You can see him. He's up there on the cross, and his neck is like this. And he strains his cramped neck muscles to the right. He looks to the right. He looks across the dying Savior and he says to his companion in crime, he says, dost not thou fear God? Dost thou not fear God? He's doing Jesus preaching for him. And then he says, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, in other words, they're both crucified. And we indeed justly, he admitted that Jesus was unjustly being punished. And then he went on and he said to his companion in sin, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. You know, he's talking about Bible justice, not justice that you want, that's being handed out today, but justice that says every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompensive reward. And then he says to his companion in crime, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Again, the thief is saying, no fault in Jesus. So what we see up here is we have this second thief, the repentant thief. He's preaching a three-point message out there. He's preaching a sermon to his companion in sin. And he's basically telling him, he's saying to him, to the other thief, shut your mouth. Quit griping and criticizing a decent man. You and I got what we deserve. We took our chances and we got caught. He says, if you fear God, point number three, shut your mouth. You're making me sick. This is what this man said. He preached this three-point message to his companion in sin. Pretty strong message that day. I just pray that we would have more preachers in America with backbone to preach such a message. We see, when a man begins to talk like this, when a man gets to admit that he's a sinner, that he deserves what he's getting his penalty, then we can see he's got one foot on the threshold of heaven. He's almost there. You see, the attitude of the other thief is the attitude of all the world today, of so many of us today. The attitude of that other thief that would not repent was, why did I get such a raw deal? Why am I up here? Why I didn't do anything worse than anybody else did. That's the attitude today. You're not sorry for their sins, but sorry for being caught. And why is this happening to me? You know, I haven't done anything worse than anybody else has. That type of attitude will land a person like that smack dab in hell. You know, no repentance, no sorry for sins, no humiliation, no humbling themselves. But on the other hand, we have the message from the repentant thief, which basically says, I've got what's coming to me. I've got what's coming to me. And God was merciful at that. I deserve an eternity in hell. You know, it reminds us of that publican who prayed in Luke 18:13. Remember he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner? That's what he said. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we're told by Jesus that publican who prayed that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, went down to his house justified. So we see then that this repentant thief preaches the message, you know, I'm up here, I deserve to be up here, I'm a sinner, I'm no darn good, I deserve to go to hell. You know, and he tells that to his buddy, you deserve to go to hell, we're up here, we deserve to be crucified. But this man alongside of us, in between us, there's no guilt in him. He has done absolutely nothing. He's being treated unjustly, and we're being treated justly. Then we see, after preaching this message that we've just read, the preacher concludes, the thief on the cross says, and he turns to the Savior and he says, he gives the invitation, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into my kingdom, into thy kingdom. Lord, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, the thief comes forward to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at that very moment. He had taken Jesus' kingship seriously. This thief takes Jesus at his word to be what he professed to be, the King of Truth, with an earthly kingdom over Israel. He recognizes a future kingdom and lays hold of this article of faith. And while he's 10 feet from the king, who will be dead before the sun goes down, this thief was saved by faith. Saved by faith. Now we want to notice something. The thief, very important, the thief calls Jesus Lord. He says, Lord, remember me. You know, as I think of that day, there should have been more thieves up on those crosses being crucified. Because do you realize if you take the so-called modern Bibles, the easier translations and nothing but New Age Bibles, the Bibles of Satan, but that word Lord is taken out. That word Lord is taken out. They take that word Lord out of a dying thief's mouth. And what they do by doing that is they take the deity away from Jesus Christ. If he's not Lord, then that man's going to hell. The man that just turned on, that thief that said, Lord, remember me. If Jesus Christ is not Lord, then what that thief had to say is of no avail. Because only Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can save anyone. So what they've done by taking that word Lord out of a dying man's mouth, they've sent that repentant sinner to hell. That's not what the Bible says. A repentant sinner goes to heaven. So what they're saying then is that thief died and went to hell with the other thief, even after he repented. But I praise God that the Word of God says the following. In Psalm 119:89, the Word of God says this. He says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." In Matthew 24:35, the Word of God says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Jesus said in John 10:35, "The scripture cannot be broken." Praise the Lord, the Word of God, the authorized 1611 King James Bible says, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me." Because instead of going to hell, this repentant thief went to heaven. He went to paradise instead of hell. You know, Jesus responded to this thief, just like he said in John 6:37. Jesus said, "In him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And we see Jesus responds to the thief's petition, and he says, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now we'll notice something. We want to notice something very important about Jesus Christ's response. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, he said. Why is that so important? Immediate salvation. This thief didn't have to wait till he died. You know, he didn't have to make a great, you know, he didn't have to worry about making an act of contrition and eating a little wafer. It was immediate salvation. Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The thief, we also want to notice, the thief repents without going to a priest. There wasn't any priest, although there was the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ was on that middle cross. We see the priests of the day were down on the ground mocking Jesus. We see that Judas confessed to these same priests that mocked Jesus, and we saw that he went out and hung himself and ended up in his own place. We want to also notice that the thief cannot kneel to pray, nor can he get baptized. He doesn't speak in tongues. He doesn't handle any snakes or anything. We have to notice all these. He prays no Our Father and Hail Mary. He goes to no church or minister for the last rites. He keeps no golden rules and he ignores all the commandments. He joins nothing and purposely avoids the Mass. He does not live it. You know how people say you got to live it? You know, you got to live a certain way to get to heaven? You got to do a certain thing. This thief never did. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved by grace through faith, having believed. Having believed. Today, thou shalt be with me. Instant salvation. Can you imagine that morning as they're bringing, you know, the morning, in the morning that poor man was in jail. That very morning before they came and, you know, they had to carry their cross and he was put up on the cross and crucified. This man was in jail that very morning. But can you imagine? He went from jail in the morning to paradise that very night. In the morning, while that man, that thief, that prisoner was in jail, he munched on probably had a piece of stale, crummy, moldy bread. Probably had mold on it to eat on it. But that night, praise God, that thief feasted on the very bread of life. You know, we look around and we think about that thief on the cross, but that's how you and I were before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We were just as bad as that thief on the cross. Hey, maybe we didn't steal anything, but we were sinners. We were going to the same sinner's hell as that thief on the cross. You know, we were eating of the crumbs of the bread of the world. We weren't eating on the bread of life. In the morning, as the guard came to take that thief out, to walk that, how long he had to walk up that hill to Calvary, he probably came in, and there was probably a bucket of water or something, and he kicked the water over, and he told the, you know, and he cussed at that thief and said, "Now drink that off the floor." But that very night, that same thief drank long, cool draughts from the water of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in the morning that thief was unfit for respectable society in the company of decent men and women. That night he was made a prince unto God and acceptable before the throne of the sinless creator of the universe. You know, there's a song that goes, it's called Saved. It says, saved by his power divine, saved through his life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. That thief was saved. He went to paradise. He went to paradise. He went to paradise. Three, you know, if you think about it, there were actually three messages that were preached from that cross that day. And we know that after our Sunday school lesson that Christ was not crucified on Friday, but it was Wednesday. We see the one of unbelief, the one thief, as he railed on Jesus, the skeptic. You know, he rejected the Savior. That's how you and I were. We were that skeptic at one time. This is how the whole world is today. Skeptics, unbelief. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they like the Easter season, and they like the bunnies and the rabbits and the, you know, all these other things. And they like to color the Easter eggs. You know, and we like to come up with the Easter bunny and all these other things. But when you bring up the blood-stained Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood, boy, do they hate that. They don't want to hear about that. The skeptics. You know, we want to keep, you see everybody gets growing up, all the little kiddies will be out and they'll have that nice new Easter outfit, which is nice. But the emphasis today is on the Easter bunny, the eggs, the tradition, and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't want to bloody up our nice Easter Easter outfits, do we? The thief on the cross was a skeptic. Rejection of the Savior. And then we had the second message that was preached this morning. The one of a repentant sinner. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, basically, that thief said. And he told the other thief, you're a dirty, rotten sinner too. We're both dirty, rotten sinners. And how dare you talk to the Son of God that way, to this innocent and decent man. People do it every day. You know, people do it every day. I love the rules and regulations we go by in this country. I think of just recently that congressman that came under attack for calling another congressman a faggot. And he came out and he was lambasted and he had to apologize and everything. And we have rules and regulations about sexual harassment and all these other things. But people can go around and, you know, use GD, you know, goddamn and Jesus Christ, and no one gets offended. Well, I'm offended by it. And if you're a Christian, you should be offended by it. Because our Savior, he paid a price on Calvary. He shed his precious blood for your sins and my sins. And we shouldn't be dragging his name through the mud. If you want to damn someone, damn Buddha or Muhammad, but not the Son of God. You never do. One of repentance. The second message was of repentance. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. That's the first step. The greatest step in getting someone saved is to see, to have them see that they're a dirty, rotten sinner, that they're a thief on the cross. Well, they'll say, a person will say, I've never stole anything, I've never murdered anyone, I've never raped anyone. The Bible doesn't put a classification on sin, my friend. He says, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. All sin God hates because he's a holy God. Until you come to that realization that you're a sinner, then you're going to end up in hell one day. You know, I praise God for that repentant sinner. I praise God for the day that I repented, that I was a dirty, rotten sinner. No, I hadn't murdered or raped anyone, but I had sinned in my life. I had done things against the holy God. And anything that's against God's nature, against who he is a sin. You know, if you've thought ill of someone, if you've told a little white lie, it's a sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, he doesn't classify that sin. He doesn't say the wages of sin is death. Now, what I'm defining is sin is murder, rape, stealing, extortion, or whatever it may be. Sin is sin if it's against God. If it's against God. The message of repentance. That's the greatest message. That's the greatest message, the message of repentance. The message of repentance. God says, he tells us in his word, he says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The day I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the day that you did that, the angels in heaven rejoiced. But I tell you, the angels in heaven aren't rejoicing too much nowadays because no one is repenting of their sins and getting right with God and trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then we see the third message that was preached. We see that the second thief, the repentant thief, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want to be saved. Lord, remember me. Would you remember me, Lord? And then we see the third message. The third message from the Lord God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, was one of salvation. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus' message was one of salvation. He took the thief. What the thief had, his humbling words, I'm a sinner, Lord, I deserve this. You don't. Is there any way out of this mess that I can get out? I'm sorry for my sins. Do you notice that prayer? He just said, Lord, remember me. He said, Lord, remember me. That's all that thief said. That's all that's recorded. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words. Very short prayer. Lord, remember me. And that's all it took. But see, before he came and he said that prayer, his heart had to be right with God. His heart had to be humbled. His heart was right with God because it was evidenced by his words as he preached that message to that other thief who was nothing but a skeptic and just wanted to get out of this jam any way he could. Those are the words that were evidence that this man, this thief, was repentant and he was trying to get right with God. He humbled himself. And that's what caused those words to come out. If your heart is really, truly right with God, you know, you don't have to take the words off the back of a track or something, you know, call the sinner's prayer. That sinner's prayer will come very naturally to you. Because what has taken place in your heart when you humble, the words will come forth. As this thief said, Lord, remember me. And praise God, Jesus up on that cross, he seemed powerless, didn't he, that day? He was nailed up on that cross. But his message was one of salvation. Yes, I'll remember you. He said, not only will I remember you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, this very day. That sinner died, and that very day was in paradise. If you have never asked the Lord to remember you, won't you do it this very day, this Palm Sunday? Lord, remember me. That's all it is. Lord, remember me. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. You didn't deserve to die on that cross. You did not. You were a just man. You were a decent man. You were the very Son of God. I thank you for dying for me and shedding your blood for me. And I'm asking you to remember me, Lord, as a sinner. When I die, I don't want to go to hell. When I die, I want to go to paradise. He will remember you just as he remembered that thief that very day. He'll remember you if you'll ask him to remember you. He will. Christians, what you and I have to do is remember this. You know, praise God, we cried out like that dying thief and asked God to remember us, to save our souls, that we were once, you know, I think we forget a lot of times that we were once hell-bound sinners before we asked the Lord to remember us. Let us ever be mindful of the price our Lord paid. Let us not only during, you know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, this is a good opportunity to witness around Christmas and Easter, and I agree with you on that. But any good time is a good time to remember, to witness, to speak up for the Lord. You have a testimony, just as that dying thief had a testimony. You can tell people how you are on your way to hell, and you asked one day for the Lord to remember you, and he did. And now you're gloriously saved. Can you do that? Can you do that? We're going to have a time of invitation right at this very time. We're going to have a time of invitation. If there's no one here that's ever trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I'd ask you to come.